I'll call the Thursday, May 19th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Deedle, please, or Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, move on to item B1, approval of the regular meeting minutes of April 21st. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
The mayor will be voting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, four ayes. Also in your packet is the minutes of the May 5th non-meeting.
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Mark? Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item C1, Plan Development District number 13. The Plan Development District is known as Walmart Sam's Club. This is an existing warehouse space conversion to a drive-through self-storage facility. This is, let the record note that Commissioner Haley's appeared at 7:02. This is a public hearing. Mr. Fuchs, you have a notice to read?
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 19th, 2016 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Adam Hurd, Managing Partner of Highland Development Ventures, LLC, for approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0418 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 13, Section 2, to add self-storage as an allowed special use within the existing building at 6803, 6805, and 6807 South 27th Street.
Before we go into the plan, public hearing, there is some confusion as to whether the request by the applicant to table this public meeting notice did go out in advance of that request. And because of that, this Plan Commission meeting hearing will be held and is being held. But out of courtesy to the applicant, the motion this evening will be to table it to the next Plan Commission meeting to allow them to make any adjustments as possible. So, Mr. Deedle, you have an introduction for us?
Yes, and I would also add that I believe that the public hearing will be continued to the next meeting,
yes,
as well. That we will be sending out a new public hearing notice to that effect as well to the newspaper, and as we normally do, notice to all the property owners within 500 feet of this property.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney.
Thought would be that perhaps under the factual circumstances of the application, that the public hearing for the Plan Development District amendment be held concurrently with the public hearing for the special use. I think it's more efficient, and they're both the same project, and I don't know that there's much distinction other than the different types of approval, and the planning manager is nodding his head yes for that thought.
Without objection from the commission, we'll do that. Nick,
read the notice.
Please do.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 19th, 2016 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Adam Hurd, Managing Partner of Highland Development Ventures, LLC, for a special use to allow for a conversion of the warehouse space to the west of Hobby Lobby to a drive-through self-storage facility, the addition of two outdoor vehicle storage areas, construction of three buildings totaling approximately 10,500 square feet around the perimeter of the existing pavement area and landscaping, and repaving of the parking spaces and drive aisles upon property located at 6803 South 27th Street.
So apparently we have a proper public notice for both the PDD amendment as well as the special use application. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. So for the PDD amendment, the applicant is asking for approval for this type of use, a self-storage facility, to be allowed in this zoning district, which is PDD 13, same zoning district for Sam's Club and Walmart, was amended a few years ago to include this property. So that's the PDD amendment to allow this kind of a use. As the PDD is structured, as all our PDDs are structured, they have permitted uses and special uses. This would fall under a special use, so that is why there is also a public hearing for a special use. They would be normally asking for approval to have this allowed as a special use in the PDD, and then to get that approval as a special use. Two public hearings, two topics, very tied together. Physically, roughly corresponds with the white roofed portion of the building is where this self-storage indoor portion would be held. The dark roofed area is the existing Hobby Lobby. Previously, a condominium plat was approved to split that building into two spots. I believe it's still owned by one party, but now with the condominium plat approved, they could sell that second part to some other owner. They also did a CSM not too long ago, carve out a small lot on 27th Street, probably for some kind of fast food retail or something. We haven't heard anything on that yet. So this request is just for that back part of the property, the white roofed part. Self-storage, indoor facility, climate controlled. They'd be making a lot of alterations in there. They are also looking to build some additional buildings, small buildings on the outside, one on the north edge of the parking lot for additional storage, not climate controlled, and then another building on the far west end of the parking lot, again for more storage, not climate controlled. And then also some area on the parking lot for outdoor storage of boats and RVs and that kind of stuff. So that's what the applicant was asking for. They received staff comments. Staff raised a lot of issues, was requesting more additional information. The applicant decided to do a concept review. So we processed that as quick as we could, and that happened to be last Tuesday's Common Council meeting. So there was a concept review on both the PDD and this special use. For this use at the council. As a concept review, the council does not take any action. It's just questions, discussion, hoping that the applicant will get a feel, maybe an understanding of what's important to the council, what things the council was comfortable with, maybe what's not they're not comfortable with. So there was some good discussion. I believe there were some concerns raised by the council. It's still in the hands of the applicant to decide if they wish to proceed or not. It's our understanding they do still wish to proceed. Although they were asking for the table, they are still looking for as much input as they can to guide them if they want to continue to proceed with this project or not. Public hearing will help that. I can briefly mention the staff comments in regards to that. Point out, and the council is very aware of this as well, the previous use for this part of the building was warehouse and distribution. A specific tenant was once approved for that similar kind of use. But that approval was subject to only that tenant not running with the land, specific to that party and no one else. That company never moved in. That approval has expired. Now they're proposing something different. It's not warehouse and distribution, but it is self-storage. Staff is noting that it's not consistent with the district intent for this area of the 27th Street plan, but we are also pointing out, like the council noted, that it's not the same as warehouse and distribution. Again, on the other hand, we do point out district intent for this portion of 27th Street was a regional destination for retail and big box, and the accessory or incidental types of uses would be something that would be a definite and obvious benefit those kinds of uses, bringing a lot of traffic, bringing a lot of potential shoppers, and a use like this wouldn't do that. The applicant even indicates that they're not going to have a lot of traffic here. So we point all that out, staff comments, but staff has not made a recommendation yet. So that's where we stand today.
Okay. Questions for staff from the commission? Seeing none, I will open up the public comment, the public hearing portion of this for both the special use and the PDD amendment, plan development district amendment. Any citizen wishing to speak on this matter? Ma'am? The rest are elected or staff. Please come forward. Give us your name and address. I'm going to force you to speak.
Before I speak on this issue, I don't know if you had anything to do with the sidewalk going in on between 35th and College, but thank you.
Well, it was driven by your alderwoman, and the rest of us had something to do with it. So please give us your name and address.
My name is Diana Gastrow. I live at 6724 South 34th Street, which is the Victoria Place Condominiums. So I am sort of in buildings that are directly across, I guess it's a wetland, behind the Walmart and the Hobby Lobby. I don't know that I have any specific objections to what the gentleman wants to do, because it doesn't sound like it's going to be trucks coming and going at all hours of the day and night. The wooden, I guess, whatever, fence that's behind Walmart doesn't do a lot to keep sound out. I don't live right next to the wetlands, but I'm over a little bit, and I can still hear the beeping at night when the trucks are coming and going at Walmart. It's my understanding that it wouldn't be an issue with this project. I'm wondering if there's any kind of a facade that's going up. I understand he wants to put storage along, I presume, the fence line that would be up next to the wetlands.
It would be here. You can roughly see a
box. Now, where are the wetlands from there?
They're back here.
Right, okay. That's what I thought. So I don't know if there could be any kind of a barrier or a facade that could go up there that would perhaps hide the fact that this is what's on the other side of the fence.
Well,
I don't know if I'm making that clear.
I think I understand. Their proposal is a single entry this way, mm-hmm. self-storage unit that essentially would look, I'm sorry, Brian, but essentially would look like the back of a garage. Mm-hmm. And we would, if this goes forward, make it be nicer than that. But
yeah.
So this would be a blank wall, what, one story high? One story tall. And then their proposal, as they outlined last Tuesday, was to put some landscaping here and landscaping here.
On either side of that building.
Right.
As opposed to...
Fair, Brian? Yeah.
Okay. Then I don't see a problem. I did notice in some paperwork that I received that in one spot, they talked about traffic between 9 and 6. And then in another section, they talked about tenants accessing it from 6 to 9. But self-storage, as I understand it, there isn't a lot of traffic. So I don't know that would be a huge concern for the people that live closest to the wetlands on the opposite side. And semi-trailers, we don't have that problem yet? No? The noise level? Okay.
Boy, if they're going to bring a trailer in to store that stuff.
Well, wasn't there talk about vehicle storage? But does that mean cars and...
Mr. Fisher, why don't you come up, give us your name and address, and then you can respond to the questions, please. And thanks for coming back.
My name is Brian. I guess on. My name is Brian Fisher. My address is W147. N10764 here at Chills Parkway, Germantown, Wisconsin. I do represent the client here, and I have a similar map to what's up here now with showing the actual locations of the buildings. I don't know if you want to pull that up there or not.
I don't know that we know how to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You did it. You were moving it.
No. I need to go to
02 or 01, yeah. Enter.
Enter.
It should go if you just hit the number.
do it manually.
There you go.
Your other end. All right, we'll do it the manual way.
Well, this is a good start. So this kind of expands on the view that's up on the big screen now. To answer your question specifically, there's going to be an area right behind the building here and right where the loading docks used to be for the distribution facility, where we would have some outside storage of either RVs or boats would be made available. As far as semi-trucks are concerned, there's always the possibility that a moving van, which is the size of a semi-truck, could come through. That would be during regular business hours. And we talked about the business hours. And in my experience in self-storage, that might happen once a month. It's very rare when that ever happens. Majority of the people that are going to be coming in here will be the people that are going to enter into the building and they're coming off of 27th Street, past the Hobby Lobby. There's going to be a small building, for lack of a better term, kind of a signpost to the fact that this is self-storage. Creates a nice, a tight gap and actually blocks a lot of view to what's behind it, because you have a loading dock created by Hobby Lobby here, a tower here, and it really does block a lot of view back into here. So what we were going to do is have a drive-through that would come into the building here and exit out this way. There's quite a bit of change in elevation back here, and after a lot of convincing on my part to the owner, the project will now, people will come into here, and there'll be a loading and unloading zone here, and they will back out and leave. So the only time this section of the site will ever be used is if somebody is in here and for whatever reason decides to exit out this direction. This building here will have a height at the back of roughly 10 feet. And it'll be 12 feet in the front, and they're not very deep units, but they do line up with the edge of the building here. And we line it up with the edge of what is the concrete apron now that would have been the truck apron back when it was a distribution facility. If I look at the condominium units here and I would draw a view, if you're looking through here, you're going to see the side of this building. If you're here and looking, you're going to hit this building. So I feel pretty confident that when we add landscaping here and here, nobody's ever going to see this building, at least not completely, and they won't see doors. The back of the building, and I'm going to switch pages here. As I mentioned to Nick, I've done a lot of projects. I used to be in a plan commission. So I understand how development works. And I always heard the analogy that if you want a puppy, you ask for a pony. So we came in and we suggested we wanted to have metal siding on the back of the building, wanted to see how it works. I've done other projects in other municipalities where if it's out of way of the public view, that they're fine with that. But I understand in this particular case that that isn't the case because you have residents that live behind. This is an example of a project we did in the city of Brookfield. And this is what was the back of the building. This is what we will happily propose as the view to the neighbors that are to the west of this development. It makes sense. It will work with the client's performa, if you will. And we don't have a super long building here. And I'm happy to say that we would also propose the same type of an elevation along the north elevation facing the Walmart and the Home Depot, the Walmart and the Sam's Club. And I don't think they care what it looks like. But I recognize that this is a situation with the city of Franklin where you want four-sided architecture. Now, we have a specific design set up, and we'll go through that when we actually have the special use in the PDD. We have a look that we want, for the people coming in, and we want to be consistent with that. So while it won't be brick, it will be a cementitious material, not metal wall panel. So I'll just so the neighbors know and everybody else knows that we will go to this level. I'll make this really quick because I know we got other things going on. This is a project we did in the city of Brookfield. This is what the building looked like before we started. Let me zoom out a little bit. That's the same building, and we made it retrofit. This is what self-storage is today. It's not your mom and it's not your grandpa and grandma's row mini storage with wrinkled tin siding and rusty doors. This is the type of storage that Adam Hurd, the owner, is proposing to bring to Milwaukee and to Franklin. And I've run into this in many different municipalities, and I don't blame the municipalities for thinking, well, it's mini storage. It's really changed. There's a little bit of a zoom into that. Here's the type of fencing we talked about. The staff report talked about decorative fencing as opposed to chain link fence. Well, here you go. And you can see there's landscaping involved. And yes, there are doors, but I think this looks pretty nice. Here's another example. West Avenue in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a very busy road off of Sunset Avenue. This is what was presented to the municipality forever. This is what we ended up with. Same building. This is what people want to rent now. They want high quality, high security, state of the art. 67% of the people that rent self-storage are women. Their husbands or significant others will take it there, but they're the ones that are going to go check it out and make sure that it's going to make them feel comfortable and safe.
And all the guys are leaving that one alone.
That's why I said it. Here's a close-up. Here's what it looks like at night. Now, you may not be a big fan of self-storage doors, but I think this looks pretty nice, actually. Here's another example of ground-up construction. Brand new. And you can see that if you're driving through the town of Brookfield on Watertown Plank and Doral, where this used to be a Hostess thrift store, this is a far better alternative. In fact, it might even look like an office building or a dentist office. It's self-storage. This is, again, the type of quality that Adam from Highland Development Ventures wants to bring to this site. And I think it's important to note, again, here we see a gate, a gated entrance, and there are doors behind, but this is a decorative gate. It's got a little bit of infill here. Somebody sticks their hands in there and gets chopped off. That's the only reason why you have a little bit of chain link behind it. But this looks retail. And the tax base that these guys bring in is pretty nice to a municipality. Again, another view. Here it is at night. This is not your grandpa's self-storage facility. This is the original site that we did for the same client in Brookfield. And this is what we started with. It was a farmhouse on the end of a cul-de-sac with a conservancy all around it. This is what we ended up with. That's the building here. That's that field you just saw. This is the city of Brookfield where they said no to self-storage. But because it was industrially zoned, it actually fell within the zoning. They couldn't say no. They fought us tooth and nail. When they finally saw what it is we actually built, they let us go build this guy right here. That's the one I showed you earlier with the conversion. Far better than what was there. And again, this is the same project that I just showed you. This is the level. In the city of Brookfield, you have to be 70% masonry if you're in an industrial zone district. It's pretty intense. But these self-storage guys, and I can speak freely because he's not here, you know, they really are okay with this if it's going to make the community well, you know, and, you know, make the community happy, because they are providing a good service to the community. And then, I know this is kind of on an angle. This is what the inside of that space will end up looking like in the hallways. Very clean, very safe. It has intercom systems. It has piped-in music. In this particular case, they actually put an epoxy floor down. And it really is meant to attract people. And I think what you're going to find is there's nothing like this in Franklin. This will set the precedence for Franklin, and people will want to go here. The tower, I know, was something that Mayor brought up on Tuesday night. That is the only chance these guys really have to let people know that they're here. And it'll be high-quality architecture. I might argue it'll be nicer looking than the Walmart next door, and we could argue that. I think it will fit with what was done with the Hobby Lobby, which was a nice redo years back. So I know I've rambled on and on. I really appreciate the time. We'd love to get your feedback. I think the hard part for us is if this is dead on arrival as a PDD, it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of money on special use. And we had a little bit of not quite sure how the system works here, which is why I got a little goofy, and we ended up coming with the concept review on Tuesday. Ideally, we would have just come for the PDD on its own. But we would really like to move forward, and we hope that this little slideshow kind of helped everybody understand that, you know, this is not what people perceive self-storage to be. It's a very quiet use. There really isn't, other than the original rent up, it's hardly ever visited. And I think it'll be a great asset to the community. And there are a lot of households around, and this will be a very convenient location for them. So thank you, and I'll take any questions if you have them. Sorry for going on and on, but you probably wanted to know a little bit. So thanks.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Okay, well, I just wanted to restate what the planning manager said, that because the write-up in the planning staff's write-up says that this was zoned for warehousing. I just wanted to restate that on the record for any constituents that might be listening to the tape, that was personal to the previous AST logistics, and that is no longer there. I would also ask that the next public notice be provided to me as soon as possible. Because of my mailing address, I actually didn't get it until after my residence, and I didn't know when they started calling me what they were referring to. So that would be helpful if you're going to send it out to the paper by email. If you could just copy me on that or stick it in my alderman box, that would be great. I did receive a couple emails. Some of them went to the aldermen. I tried to just write down some notes about what their concerns were so I could bring them up, because none of the people that contacted me were able to be here because of the short notice. And then when they also looked and saw that it was going to be tabled, they were less inclined to come because they thought it would be tabled. So I appreciate the fact that it's going to be held over to the next meeting, and that will be very helpful. The developers contacted me with a letter I can send to the residents to have them try to get together and meet and discuss some of the items that they might have concerns. So at this point, it's really hard for me to take a 100% stance without knowing how the residents feel about that. One of the emails was from the president of the Homeowner Association at the condo. And he says in his email that he understands the need for the city to have a building that will pull in some more taxable income. But he also says he's really not in favor of this type of facility in this location. However, he goes on to say that with these other items being addressed, that, you know, it may not be as bad as he might think, is basically how he put it. So some of the things were already addressed here. It's unfortunate he couldn't be here tonight, but it was the aesthetics of the back of the building, the fence type, headlights into the residence. As I explained at the council, there's a really significant drop-off between this property and the back of the floodplain. It looks flat, but I don't know, it must be 40 feet of drop difference, and the condo association could not plant anything on their end that would grow tall enough to block the back. So all the screening has to be done from the development side where this building is. They had lots of questions about hours and how the hours would be limited. They also had questions about limiting truck traffic and how that would be presented. There was concern about buildings being more than one story. I guess it would be really beneficial for the developer to be able to maybe show how much of the three-story unit that would be up toward the front that they're trying to make notice along 27th Street because there's no road frontage, how much of that would be able to be seen from the back area. So that was the height limits. Concerns that I have as far as quietness, it is similar to what Diana said. It's the noise with the beeping of the trucks, and this happens a lot with snow plowing. Lighting is also a concern that I would have. Also, hours of access. And one thing that I am not in favor of is the outdoor storage. When I read the public notice, I thought outdoor storage was the outer ring. I didn't understand that it was outdoor, completely outside, and I'm not interested in seeing that from any angle of back of parking lots or anything like that. So as far as the back perimeter building, personally, I was okay with just having them use the main building that's there and nothing additional for future repurposing. However, given the fact that I don't see Hobby Lobby going anywhere real soon, and the fact that the back building, if substantially made out of brick and screened much more than the landscaping that is shown, that it may be a better sound barrier than having nothing near at all. But I would like that particular aspect to have resident input from the back. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Eric, you want to talk? I will just tell the commission what my comments were at the concept review. Colin Dandry knows this. Not being involved with the 27th Street corridor planning many years back, this type of use was never anticipated or contemplated, although the uses that are currently there were always part of the deal. But we never contemplated self-storage. My goal has always been to try to bring up what's there, improve the look and traffic flow and the amenities for the citizens. So my comment relative to this particular development was I'd be good with just doing it in the main building, not adding the other buildings. I get the three-story thing. I'd get it more if it was two-story. The less, there's going to be a political backlash to approval of this, as Alderman Wilhelm can attest. And if the applicant chooses to go forward, I would appreciate any discussion and any accommodation they can have to limit the amount of attention calling other than what they need to do their business. That's addressable from or visible from 27th Street. I share Alderman Wilhelm's concern. Outdoor storage, that's a non-starter as far as I'm concerned. So that's my comment. Alderman Dandria.
I mean, I see what you're doing, and what you've done in other communities is very architecturally pleasing to the eye. At first, and I didn't say anything on Tuesday, primarily because there were many other people that were saying it, and it didn't pay to reiterate. I am concerned of the three-story high visibility. I know why you're doing it, for marketing. The back, as long as you can create that obstructed view and it is as pleasant and pleasing as what you're showing. I can see how you're trying to obstruct the angles from the people in the back. I did notice that the windows, there must be a light that is over, and that must be a mercury vapor light that points more down, and it wouldn't be pointing toward the houses. But the people back there have to also realize that historically, this is a retail sector, and it is the retail sector of 27th Street. They had a lot more noise in the past. They've only had the luxury of it being quiet because it's been vacated and because Ashley Furniture moved out of it. Otherwise, they had the noise. They had everything that was there, the snowplows, everything. I also realize that the traffic that's coming in is going to be less. You know, they both mentioned the open view or the open storage. We don't want it looking like it's a junkyard. And some people may be viewing this or putting these vehicles here because they can't store these in their yards or in their driveways because there's ordinances to control that. But the last thing we want to do is move it from point A to point B, okay? Just because it's obstructed doesn't mean we like to see an aerial view of a junkyard, okay? So what can you do for that area? Maybe address it with a lean-to or you know, an extension on the roof. You know, you're looking for direction from us. We're half a dozen here, half a dozen there. Okay. Realistically, what's ever going to happen with this building? With Hobby Lobby in the front, and as Alderwoman Wilhelm said, the reality of it, it's been vacant for so long, and I know that the owners are looking to do something, and I know that the wheels have been put into motion with the decision, and the common council did approve it to allow the condo, you know, the split up of the building and the outlot. So we've already let things go into motion here with the property owner and the building owner. I know that this is phase two, and I believe that I can just make an assumption that they're going to buy this property and they will be enhancing it with these improvements. That's the end of my comments. Leave it up to you guys.
Mr. City Engineer.
I have a question about the proposed building on the west side that you're proposing. Why is it not going edge to edge? That way that could completely eliminate all headlights shining through across the way, and that would provide you more space to rent out and so forth.
Well, if you're okay with me answering, I think if that's a condition, it's certainly a possibility. We, based on the amount of square footage that we're able to obtain inside the building, it limited, you know, we actually started bringing down the amount of storage we needed to have outside. There's a certain, you know, calculation that goes into that. So, for example, if it would make more sense to add more, you know, to widen that building, I don't believe the applicant would object to that. So I would certainly, if that's a message to take out of tonight, one of the other messages was three-story, not real hip on three-story. The reason why it is as tall as it is that's what's allowed in the ordinance, 35 feet. So we took advantage of what's in the code. So, again, I will take back that particular comment to the owner. I think what you're suggesting is a good one. The key is we obviously have, as an engineer, you know everything's running downhill there. There are catch basins that are actually between where this building would go. We just got to make sure you can make it pitched properly and leave room for snow storage.
Before we give you that direction, I guess I'd ask the planning director, is there any reason why that would be not wanted, because that would prevent all the headlights from shining across the way?
I'll answer that question. It's because the mayor suggested they use the building they have and not build any more buildings. Now, you know, there's a difference of opinion, and as you know, I told you I want your opinion. So, but, you know, pick your poison here. I would go for less more than more, but you're a plan commissioner and you have a vote. So,
as long as you are building a building, seemed like wider the better to block that, I guess.
I'll definitely take that back to the owner. I can see the value in that. I mean, certainly the headlights become less of an issue. Everybody, and I'll go, you know, for a second here. The flow will be this way and out. So once they come out and round this corner, there'll be a gate right here. You know, coming out, there'll be no headlight issues. So whether the building, right now we have it ending right here in line with this building, I think that wouldn't necessarily change. But yeah, extending it up here and having a nice, you know, brick facade that looks, that's kind of residential in flavor will certainly help with noise, and it will certainly block headlights. I think the reason why we ended up doing what we did is we had buildings from the, initially we had the tower and we had buildings all along the property line, and then we had buildings here. And then as I, you know, I did a really good job of laying out the inside and squeezed blood out of a turnip and got a lot of interior.
You're a humble guy, aren't you?
Wear many hats. So well, that being said, all of a sudden we started taking away some of the outside story.
And the other thing, if you take the building you're proposing, not enlarge it and just shove it all to the north, you block all the headlights and the noise, and then the people going around are going around, they're not shining their lights across to the west.
So I will definitely take that back to the owner, and then to address you know, Alderman Dantera's question, the outside storage we've done in the past, and again, that why I showed you Brookfield, City of Brookfield, you know, they're very careful about outside storage. And I had another situation in Sussex, Wisconsin, where we had a developer's agreement, and in that developer's agreement, we specified exactly what type of outside storage there could be. So we're not talking about putting junky cars there, you know. And so you can set, if you'd be willing to, you know, to go that way, you can certainly set some rules on what you would allow to be parked outside and not. I've had several municipalities that have said, we'll let you do self-storage if you allow RVs to be parked there because we're sick and tired of seeing them in people's driveways. I mean, certainly it's not perfect, but I don't know that anybody really cares what the satellite image is. If it's hidden behind a building that would pretty much take up the entire west property line so that even this and this would never be seen by anybody, it beats having them in people's driveways. So it could be a value. I'll just throw it out there. If you want to add something to a developer's agreement that limits junk, and I think that's fair to ask, that's fine. And I'll stay here if there's any other questions.
Commissioner Hogan?
I have nothing.
Anyone else from the community? Alderman Wilhelm?
Go back to the outdoor storage. I think is just going to increase the traffic and the larger size vehicles in that area. So I'm still not hearing that. I'm also wondering what the Plan Commission, what they feel about cars on the indoor storage of that. And I don't know if that's really been discussed. Fire codes, sprinkler systems, if cars are stored inside. Question about the area behind the building. Mr. Deedle, is the area at the end of the pavement part of that conservation easement? Do you know where that area is?
Is
it the one that's kind of goes off to the side that way, or?
Conservation easement extends maybe in the
Walmart 24 hour.
So there's plenty of room for them to landscape without being in the conservation easement.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. Okay. And then I thought it would be important to note for the people that might not quite understand the previous approval of this building was for the storage and warehousing of Ashley, and because Hobby Lobby is not using it, we've got this big empty building there that several people have tried to fill, but nobody really wants to be back there because there is no signage, and that's why they want this taller tower. I guess I'd like to see if they could limit it to two stories, and then maybe when the restaurant comes up along in the front parking lot, which there's going to be some use, if they could be allowed to have a sign along 27th Street in conjunction with whatever use goes up there, and then maybe they wouldn't have to have the taller building. It might be an option. So, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? See, not I will. Thank you. We will hold this open for the June 9th Plan Commission meeting, both the public hearing on the Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment as well as the Special Use Amendment. So we will leave this open. So I ask, is there a motion to table the application and to continue the public hearing for a Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment for the Plan Development District number 13, which is existing warehouse space conversion to a drive-through self-storage facility to the June 9th, 2016 Plan Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye and the mayor
aye.
Will vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Well, I don't need to anymore. Is there also a motion to table the application and to continue the public hearing for the special use for self-storage facility use upon the property located at 6803 South 27th Street to the June 9th Plan Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Move on to item C2, Unified Development Ordinance Text Amendment to incorporate Department of Natural Resources construction site and post-construction site erosion control, stormwater management regulations, and amendments for support for green infrastructure. Mr. Deedle. Mr. Fuchs.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 19, 2016 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as a matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding application by the City of Franklin for an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text within Part 8, Improvements and Construction, to update its provisions and incorporate Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Wisconsin Administrative Code standards and regulations as they pertain to erosion control and stormwater management and construction site and post-construction site performance standards, including but not limited to the provisions of Department of Natural Resources Chapter 151 of the Wisconsin Administrative Code, and to support the development of green infrastructure.
Mr. Deedle.
I can start us off, but Sarah from the Engineering Department will probably give the bulk of the presentation on this. Two things that I would mention. It's my understanding this is being required by the state. They have minimum standards that everybody must now meet. They have a model ordinance that sets that all forth. And our current ordinances for erosion control and stormwater management plan don't meet those minimums, so that's what the bulk of these changes are. The other thing that I would mention, I did particularly pay a lot of attention to the part of the stormwater management that deals with what's called protective areas. I call it the DNR's version of buffers. They have, under this individual program, buffers or protective areas, as they call them, for wetlands, lakes, rivers, and streams. But those buffers and what's allowed within them are different than ours. Alderwoman Wilhelm called me a few days ago asking some questions about this, and I said something incorrect. All we're currently proposing in the draft in front of you is to change the buffers that the DNR is proposing for lakes, rivers, and streams. They're proposing 50 feet as part of this one stormwater program. We're proposing 75 feet to match the DNR's shoreland zoning and our current UDO standards. That's the only change that's in that draft ordinance right now. I do note in the staff report that staff would like to get permission from the council to further investigate the differences between this DNR protective areas and our current natural resource standards, because I believe, and I can give you examples if you wish, there's many differences between the two. Some instances where the DNR is more restrictive, some where our current code in the UDO is more restrictive. And I would recommend that we try to match those two. But I'm asking for that permission to do that next, not now. Right now, the only thing that we're changing from the DNR's model ordinance is these protective buffers for lakes, rivers, and streams to be 75 feet and not 50. That's it.
So just to paraphrase again, you're suggesting more restrictive than is required by the DNR.
Yep.
And it matches our current UDO.
But it matches our current.
Ms. Arnold, welcome for your first public hearing.
Thank you.
Your boss is watching.
Yes, he is.